Thank you so much for returning to the post-show, episode 131. Today we discuss the man himself, Vince McMahon.
I'm only half joking. We do actually start the podcast on that. I don't know what drove him to this, but Grant watched the entire Vince McMahon documentary. Yeah, so we're back. We open on that. If it's not your thing, just skip ahead and we talk about Rings of Power Season 2, followed by My Hero Academia, Season 7, Episode 19. If you're one of these people who's been angry at listening to me shit on My Hero Academia all these years, well, today's episode is for you, because they actually put out a good one, and we talk about it. Then we talk about The Penguin, a la Colin Farrell, Matt Reeves, HBO, and the pilot of that. Then Chaos, the Jeff Goldblum Power Drunken Zeus series on Netflix. Grant gives us a little fall season teaser of some really big shows coming up that we're going to have to cover. And then we get into the news. It's a fun one. Strap yourselves in. Enjoy. Oh, hey there, Grant.
Hello, David.
What's up, my guy?
How are we doing, good?
Oh, my God. We made it, dude. We're here. It feels, I mean, I think this is part of, like, going to the bi-weekly schedule, which I think has worked out quite well.
Yeah, I think it's easier on our lives and our scheduling. I do miss the 1 week there, but...
me too. There's nothing
saying... But mind you, it's also been quiet, like, you know.
It's been a little quiet.
Yeah.
There's also nothing saying we can't go back to the 1 week, especially when something demands it, right?
Yeah.
You know we're not coming back for, like, weekly coverage of My Hero or something, but if, like, something good kicks up, we'll be back.
Might be a topic of conversation later in a few
minutes. Oh, we're going to talk about My Hero. Well, don't worry. We're going to talk about it. I think, like, just with how busy hashtag adult life has been lately, this has been making more sense. And I'm still, you know, the listener, if you notice our audio having any issues, I'm still, like, very much in a transient setup. But we're working on it. And by gods, one day we'll even do video, I swear to God. It's on the horizon. But first, I gotta dial in a more permanent audio setup, and then we can get to the next part. But how you doing, bro? How you doing? How's your adult life been?
Good. No, as per usual, it's pretty
cleaning any gutters or something. I can relate to that.
Cleaning any gutters? No,
I can relate. I have gutters. I've never cleaned
up there. You haven't been up there yet?
No. No.
Do you own a ladder?
No, I don't own a ladder, dude.
Okay, well.
And you know what? I'm not gonna, all right? Yeah, I'm gonna hire a guy.
Most dangerous thing.
Named Grant.
Yeah, well, I think
he's got a bum knee. Yeah. He gets right up there, dude. He does it for a moose head.
Yeah, no, you're right, just about. That's about minimum. A moose head will get me up there. But, nothing much new. Just, you know, typical daycare influenza shock in the house. You know, second of the season so far, so I'm loving that. Second in 3 weeks, but...
good.
Yeah. And of course, the kids, they're all young and healthy, and they're shitty, and, you know, all out of the way for 2 days, and then you're stuck with it for five more. You know, it's just... But
that sounds about right.
Binging a lot of, like, Netflix garbage.
There's some good stuff on as of late, though.
But that's the thing, like, I've just... It's like I turn into... Like a, you know, like an 18-year-old college girl is watching, like, just garbage TV all day.
Right.
And Netflix, there's just so much of that on there now. Like, I feel like there always has been, but it's just like, you know, the algorithm knows you're not feeling well. It's like, oh, here's the Vince McMahon documentary, you know? And it's like,
oh my God, did you watch any of that?
All of it, dude.
Oh my God. That's so interesting.
I'm not a wrestling guy either, so it was very
fascinating. Yeah, I was going to say, we can't really have a great conversation on my end about this. All I know, and here's what I'll say before I, like, ask you about it, is that, you know, I don't know if you know this actually, but, like, as you know, and maybe some of the audience knows, the UFC, the MMA organization, actually merged with the WWE a couple years
ago. Yeah.
And they have
TKO. TKO is the overarching company, I believe.
Yes. Well, yeah, TKO is their ticker symbol on the public stock market. So, like, it's real. You can buy stock in this company. And by doing that, you're investing in both the UFC and the WWE. And it was, like, a very big deal, multi-billion dollars multi-billion-dollar market cap. And so I've gone through most of life like pretty unaware of the WWE, but and like just wrestling, like theatrical wrestling in general. Sure. But it just feels like it's not going away. No. And there has been some weird cross-pollination between the UFC and the WWE, like historically, like Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, just weird stuff like that. And, you know, like even some UFC fighters have appeared in the WWE briefly. So there's like, there is some back and forth. But what I will say is this, what I've always been aware of and that has been made very clear to me is the fandom and the size of the audience for the WWE is easily as big and historically actually bigger than that of the UFC's. Like, it's a giant thing. I don't know if this is exactly in our demo for our listener, for our audience.
No, it was interesting because, like,
but you it's know, a like, gigantic thing in the United States. Gigantic.
I think that's kind of like underselling it. I think it's like genuinely a worldwide thing,
right?
And this documentary could not have like hit that point home. It's interesting because I didn't realize it's like Bill Simmons is a producer on this. Like, it's a Ringer Films production. Like, co-made with I'm actually blanking on like the main like the documentary team and company that made it. But you know, like it
I
kind
had no
of
idea.
Because that was the thing. Like, I saw all the memes online and like talking about how like they were going to get into the sex scandal stuff, or like the most recent like this trafficking stuff with Vince McMahon. And like they do touch on that and they make references to it, like all these interviews were done before like this was made public and whatnot. And and they get into like all the controversies along the way, but like by the end of it was like it was like kind of scathing, but like they actually it felt like there was like more of an effort put in on yes his imprint and like what he made it, but it was actually like a amazing lesson and education on the different eras of the wrestling, like from the very early beginnings to the Hulkamania stuff, to the, you know, Degeneration X and like, you know, like all that stuff. Like it was like weirdly like, oh my God, it just, you know, sometimes you watch something, you're like, yeah, I'm never going to intake any of this. This is just like an in and out kind of thing. I was
totally.
I don't think I'll forget any of like the facts I watched from this document. I was super engrossed in it. It was really, really well made.
Are you aware that like Vince McMahon, like he came out in advance of its release being like, I don't endorse this. I don't really feel like it's a fair telling. I feel like
it's
a
one-sided story. Oh, I didn't know that at all, no.
Yeah, I don't. So, because you mentioned like some of the, I don't know if it's sexual assault allegations, but I'll just say I know there's some controversial stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And he kind of denounced it saying like, oh, it doesn't feel like he told the full story. And I was just curious, like,
It was funny because you can, like, you know, because a lot of these interviews took place in 2021. So, and then, or sorry, 2021 and 2022. And then there was like that first, I think at the latter end of 2022, there was like a more, at the time there was a sexual assault, like charge brought forward or claim, and whatnot, or, you know, wording. And then there's obviously like this one that happened at the beginning of this year, but, like it's really funny. Like I don't, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to tell with documentaries, but like they were kind of smart with, you know, they were telling their story and he would say like a very specific thing. And like, it's almost like an office clip, like a gym look, they do really good editing, but like it was all within the same thing. And like, it would work back to something he said earlier. So like, it didn't feel disingenuous at all. Cause like the man clearly is like a bit of a monster. Like, again, I'm not going to presume or whatever, you know, like I'm not just, you know, let the courts figure all that out, but you know, court of public opinion is not going to, that is what it is, but like,
yeah, a lot of smoke, you know, in that area is kind of what you're saying.
Well, no, it's just, it's like one of those things, like he clearly is a piece of shit and he's a huge asshole and not a very nice person and has done like on the record and like, you know, stuff is proven for him to be like a not a nice person.
Okay, yeah.
So like, you know, if all the sexual assault stuff, like, you know, wasn't brought up, like I think people would watch this and be like, oh, he's like not a good dude.
Oh, you're saying, you know, like even without like in yeah. like even without all those allegations, like so, clearly not a great guy.
Yeah, so for him to come out and be like, yeah, like this is like disingenuous and like not painting the full picture, like if you just take away all the sexual assault stuff, the picture that's like very clearly and proven painted, you know, by history and, you know, journalism and all this stuff over the years, matter. He is an asshole. Record. Like he's not a good dude. So like I don't know, like him making comments like that. Yeah. Like I don't.
Even I know he's the overarching like figurehead of the organization, but that's I gotta like, say though, where it stops. Is, like that's all I really know. I know he's a big deal in that world.
I gotta say though, by the end of it, you're like the reason the WWE is what it is 100% because of him. There's no questions asked. Like,
it's so funny you say that, dude, and that's your takeaway because I hate to tie this back, but that is absolutely the like current prevailing theory and sentiment about the UFC and Dana White is like
very reminding me the whole time I was thinking of Dana White.
Yeah, because you know he's part of a class action lawsuit right now. Like we'll see how it all goes down. You know. Once history is kind of written, the way I look at him is not super favorable currently. But one thing that is definitely undeniable is the sport isn't where it is, and the UFC doesn't really exist in its current form without him. But probably like a pretty bad dude. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like, but I mean, it's weird how often this happens, right? Like, this is a pretty wild comparison. Do not don't spear me for this, but it does seem like a lot of like gigantic figurehead leader type people end up being just absolute pricks when you get down to the nitty gritty and like how they treat people. Steve Jobs, you know what I mean? Like it turns out like as people, they are often pretty reprehensible and awful managers, but they kind of sacrifice everything for the product or for the business, which is interesting.
It was one of the like prevailingly or like one of the most repeated phrases, like, you know, he's like, I'm a businessman, like 100% business, like, you know,
therefore what I'm doing
there was okay. Probably like because it's six episodes and probably like at least twice, maybe like only once per episode, but at least maybe like twice per episode there'd be like, it's not personal, it's business. Like, you know, and like it would just like it would be continued repeated, and like again like the quick editing of like other things he would say that, you know, kind of, I don't know, it was funny because there was a really, really big point towards the end of the documentary where in the middle point of the documentary, he makes a point saying, like, if anyone ever calls me out on something or, like, they want, you know, wants to, you know, slander me or whatever, he goes, I will 100%, I will do the interview, I will be defensive, I will fight you on it. Hmm. And, you know, they're saying, like, you know, and then I think there's someone else had a quote of, like, yeah, like, every instance he has done that. Mm-hmm. And then it's, like, it cuts to, like, the empty chair. And Vince McMahon has refused to do the final interview since the allegations. And it was like, you know,
funny.
It was a funny little bit of editing. And maybe, like, you know, you could take that as
maybe he finds that unfair. Fair enough.
But it, I don't know. I thought it to be, like, you know. But, like, it was just, like, a highlight reel of, like, every interview. Of like a cut shot of all these interviews from, like, you know, the 80s till now. Of him, like, arguing and, like, blowing, you know, literally imploding on television with people. Like, Dave, like, you know, it's... I was talking to Joey about it because, you know, he grew up watching some wrestling and all that. Like, I knew nothing of it. Like, you know, mutual friends of yours and mine actually were very big into wrestling. But, like, other than getting my ass kicked in their backyard, like, I never really watched it. Like, I had no
just something
investment.
We missed. For whatever reason.
Yeah, and I don't know. But it was a good watch. Like I said, the history of wrestling, and they touch all these different areas and... Like, the amount of footage they have and the highlight reel, like, it was, like, a true, true time capsule documentary.
That's cool. How many episodes?
It was six. Each one was about 45 minutes.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was, like I said.
Maybe give that shit a spin, man. Who knows?
What turned out to be, like, you know, like, a sick, like, I just need to kill some time. I'm tired, you know.
Sure.
Like, I want to focus on something where I'm not feeling good. Like, I was engrossed the whole time. I was like, this is actually, like, really, really good.
So. No kid.
But,
okay, I got God, this is a hard left turn, but I just need to ask, have you watched any of Rings of Power season 2?
No, dude.
You haven't even fucking touched it, huh?
No, I haven't.
I am so curious. Will you touch it?
Leanna's been away. She was doing a lot of, like, she was in a wedding and she was away for a few days. The plan
Typical,
was this
dude.
Week to watch it. But she was away because she doesn't want to watch it. So
okay,
I'm,
so you
I'm
will,
waiting for her to be around.
You reckon
yeah.
you will? Did
yeah,
you
we'll
okay.
check it out?
So here's my ask. Here's my question. Have you read The Silmarillion?
Silmarillion? No, I have not.
Okay. Because I think I mentioned this on last episode. And, you know, my approach with Rings of Power season 2 so far has, like, you know, I'm watching it with Sam, who has just seen the Lord of the Rings movies. She has not seen the Hobbit movies, and she has not read any of the books. And I've read a couple of the books, and I've seen Lord of the Rings more times than I can count, and I like have been like pretty clear on not really liking the Hobbit movies. So that said, like, as a Lord of the Rings fan, like, I mean, if you don't like the Hobbit movies because you feel like they stretch the source material, then like Rings of Power, you might be setting up for failure a little bit. But at the same time, I never read The Hobbit, right? I just thought they were, like, legit not great movies. So it's so it's tricky. But what I will say, like, the prevailing... it's hard to encapsulate things, but my read on the public discourse is that, yeah, fans of the source material just straight up don't like it. Like, just straight up don't like it. If you've read The Silmarillion, you know, the top comments are, you know, Sauron was in this place for 300 years. It's been two episodes. It's like, yeah, but like, what did you want them to do, dog? Yeah. Like, I don't know. So it's weird. But what I will say is, if you, it's similar to Hot D season two, actually. Well, in a weird way, Hot D season two actually ended up being quite slow. Full of stuff that I really enjoyed, but if you look for stuff to not to nitpick, and if you, especially the ending, but if you look for things, like, you will probably find things wrong, you know what I mean? But with Rings of Power season two, like, I don't know, man, like, now that they have Sauron out of the bag, you know, Halbrand, they are doing cool shit with his, like, legit cool shit with his character, like, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan and you're curious about, like, the Deceiver, like, what does that even mean? What deception is he capable of? Like, you know, you could, yes, you could probably always argue, oh, I want more. I want longer seasons. I want bigger movies, bigger budgets. I want more nuance. Like, if everyone wants all those things all the time.
Yeah.
But something that is, like, absolutely matter-of-factly true is, like, we're seeing more of that than we've ever seen on screen before. And a lot of it is super fucking fun.
I have heard one of the more recent episodes, there's like probably one of the, maybe it was you actually when I saw you this past weekend or last weekend.
I don't know.
You're talking about like one of the better Lord of the Rings battles on screen you've ever seen.
I don't know.
Maybe I heard that.
There was recently a big battle and it was legit fun. I will say, is there another show like this? Like, is there something else? They are going out of their way. And you know, this is going to be hit and miss with whoever you talk to, but they are clearly going out of their way to do callbacks, or you might call them call forwards, because it happens before Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
But they're going out of their way to intentionally be like, remember this? You know what I mean? Like, do you remember at the end of season one, like the stranger potentially being Gandalf? The reveal is he goes, always follow your nose. And that's it. It's just a little callback to the fact that Gandalf says that later. Yeah. And then the viewers were like, oh my God, that's got to be it, right?
Sure.
I would say there's like one of those per episode. Maybe not. And it's not always good and it's not always bad.
Sure.
Some people might be like, oh, that's a bit blunt. But I think on the other side, it's like, yeah, but what about the people who didn't read The Silmarillion? Or, you know what I mean, don't have the movies memorized like I do. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of that and it often works. Sometimes when it doesn't, you're like, that's like, did you need to include that? And there are outright like entire plot lines that I'm just disengaged on.
Sure.
So it's just one of those things.
That was a big part of season one, I remember. There's like, cause again, it's kind of the problem when you are trying to run like six different storylines.
Yep. It is the kind of the Game of Thrones problem though, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
you know, you're kind of ranking them inherently
without realizing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody gets a scene per episode until they hopefully converge or you kill them off or they come to their conclusions or whatever it is. And then you're like, oh great, we got another fucking scene with Arya in the, you know, training again in the house. It's like, she's been doing this for two seasons. How much more of this do you want to watch? Right.
Sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Star of the show, I forget his name, but the guy playing Halbrand.
Sauron?
Yes.
Okay.
they're doing really great justice in that.
Are the Hobbits back?
Like, the Hardfoots are still in there, for sure.
Yeah? Yeah? What's your ranking on them? Loving it or not?
To be fair, I remember you really liked it in season one, and for me, it was my least favorite. So I think there's a good chance that just is unchanged. Like, it's my least favorite, and you still might love it.
Sure. I wouldn't say I loved it. I just kind of enjoyed the community nature of that group and all that.
Yeah, they take a direction that you either will like or won't. There are a couple other like bold choices that they clearly make that feel like gambles. But again, it's like it's just tricky, right? There are obstacles. Like, I remember you talking about the IP that they actually bought, what they actually have rights to.
They literally have one age.
They have like, one age.
Even I think it's like a split, like one portion of the second age and leading up to the third, and that's like it.
And that joke I made earlier, man, like that was a legit complaint someone made. It's like, oh, yeah. You know, character A was in location B for 300 years. We kind of rushed through it. It's like, dog.
Yeah, they're in a part of the story and they're not allowed to adapt. So,
and also, if you want to pass 300 years, like think about it, right? Just think about it practically from a storytelling perspective. Every show has to do this, right? Where they have to play with time because it's a completely different medium. So
sure.
That to me is not a super valid complaint. But I am in general just curious because I find myself, there has absolutely been a dud or two episodes, but more often than not, man, I'm sitting back. I'm like, this is fucking cool. There's little things where I'm like, oh, this is kind of neat.
Does it look good?
Yeah, I think it looks better. I think it's better in every way than season one.
Damn. Well, there you go.
Right. And I remember sent you that, like, you know, that the early embargo that dropped about, like, you know, season two is another meandering, aimless, slow, I don't know. Yeah. I don't really know what to say about that other than I think getting a lot of the shit out of the way from season one, as in, like, you have to set up the stranger, right? You had to hook him up with the hobbits. You had to reveal that Halbrand was Sauron. You had to have Galadriel meet him and become deceived by him. You know what I mean? Like, all the pieces are now set up.
Sure.
And now they're all moving. Oh, and you know what else is fucking wild? Sorry, I'm excited.
No, that's good.
Another thing that's wild. Do you remember they got rid of, I don't know why, but they changed out the guy who plays Adar, who was like a highlight. Yeah.
Who was Ben Stark.
My guy? You won't be able to tell.
Really?
I don't know who the fuck they got to fill his shoes. You can't tell.
Looks just like him.
Between the makeup and the acting performance, they definitely made a choice. I don't know who they hired, but they're like, my guy, do your best Ben Stark is Adar impression. Didn't miss a beat. Like, he's literally the same dude. It's unbelievable.
Damn.
I debated even telling you that because I was going to be like, oh, I bet.
You ask me later.
Well, you may not even notice. I saw a thread recently being like, did you know the actor was changed? It was full of hundreds of people with thousands of upvotes being like, I had no idea.
Wow.
And I'm not saying he has a major or a minor role in the story. I'm just saying,
wow,
you can't really tell.
Yeah, it was a pretty big part of season one. I'd be shocked if he wasn't.
Yeah. Okay. That's enough Rings. So I hope that's enough. You got 2 weeks now, Grant. All right. And you got a big weekend ahead of you.
I do got a big weekend. Leanna's on holidays right now, so
all right.
We can catch up on some Rings of Power.
So when you get back from this weekend, take it for a spin. You got a couple days before the weekend, too.
That's what I'm saying, like leading up to now.
Okay.
We got lots of time to get into it.
All right, your turn. Go ahead. What do we got?
Do we want to break it up? Because like, we got a lot of TV and movie talk, but do we want to get in My Hero?
Yeah, we can get it in My Hero.
Yeah?
All right. Yeah, I assume you're caught up.
I'm caught up.
What are your thoughts, my guy?
I would like to make a... Okay, I'll admit when I'm wrong. You know, maybe I'm not backpedaling here. I'm not trying to, you know, reversal. I can kind of see why they did what they did with Dobby now. It seems a little obvious now.
Right.
After having seen that episode. And, but I stand by my point that... You know, if everything wasn't so cluttered and they did manage all of these storylines a little better, them doing the Dobby reversal on us, like, you know, like 10 episodes ago.
Oh, right. Would have Shoto beating him and
yeah.
then him not dying.
And then, like, them not, like, not giving, like, a fully adequate reason, like, why he just kind of, like, is back up. And then, you know, again, they kind of just left it. But it was weird, you know, the portal guy shows up, pulls him out, you know, like, again... Great episode, phenomenal, you know, when...
You're talking about the most recent episode.
Yeah, the most recent episode.
Season 7, episode 19.
Two episodes left. I saw that today on Twitter.
Yeah, there's your spoiler warning. We're going to get deep into this one, because it is a big one, but keep going.
It is a huge one, but really good. So, like I said, other than that, like, you know, some like a couple of really cool things, you know, happened and whatnot. The fight with The Dobby stuff was great, but the fight with All For One, where everyone is kind of like hammering down and seeing, you know, them like, you know, smashing him repeatedly into the ground and him,
you know what that felt like?
Rewind. What?
It felt like Tien holding off Cell in a second form. Do you remember that?
Vaguely. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, it's just way? he was like in the earth and everyone's trying to just keep him down. Oh. Knowing you can't win. Gotcha. Just keep him down there as long as possible. But sorry, keep going.
But yeah, I know, and just, you know, like the artistic choice is like the rewind ability working as he's still kind of getting pummeled, and
yeah.
You can see all the, you know, the bone and sinew and the muscle and all that. I thought that was really cool. And All Might, dude. How chilling was that? Dave, credit where credit is due. I don't know why I never saw it coming. It seemed like I just thought they drained him. I thought our boy was out.
Yeah, so, truly. Okay. Oh, God. I don't know what that was. What I will say... Cats. What's that?
The answer is always cats.
It's always cats. Sorry. What I will say... Okay, in typical Dave fashion, I have a small nitpick.
Let's go.
Naming the episode I Am Here...
Bit of a giveaway.
When yeah. A bit of a giveaway. Two, it's All Might's only scene in the whole episode is saying I Am Here. And then he's not in it.
Do you think they should have reversed? Do you think they should have, like, blown out all the emotion in the first half and then did the hype on the second part with All Might right as the episode ends?
Yes. Do the I Am Here as the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Because there's no real point. This episode, the story of this episode, is the Todoroki family and Dobby. Yeah. And like, you know, the culmination of that whole season-long arc that they've been forcing on us, which we've been very critical of.
Sure.
Because it worked and not worked, and then it's kind of worked. You know what I mean? Like, it's been a long 7 seasons of this shit.
They've been jamming it so hard and for so long down our throats. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like you said, there's been moments it worked, there's been moments it hasn't. Like, the up and down of it, it's been nauseating.
And it finally landed. You gotta give it to him, dude. Like, this episode, as far as, like, how that arc, like, wound Dobby's character. Because you are right, by the way. I could not agree more. Like, that bullshit about, like, just why have the fight? Why have the Shoto Dobby fight for Shoto to win and overcome him and then walk it all back and then do it again? It's like, it's just such shonen, like, drip feed, breadcrumbing, paint by numbers bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, we beat him, but did we? No, we got to do it again where everyone shows up. And it's like, I get it. The payoff this time was better, but we really didn't need that first step. Like, it was a total waste of our time. Mm-hmm. It's insulting to the audience, but I've talked about that ad nauseum.
I'll say, I got a great Saturday night out of it that one time.
Yeah.
You going fuck Dobby all over town. That was
glorious. True.
That was worth it. That happening was worth it. But yeah, I don't know.
Man, that, like, they put the pieces together for this episode. They absolutely did. Dude, that Shoto, Lita.
Oh my.
Team up.
I miss animation. So fucking bad, dude.
Dude, I know. Like,
he's probably one of the biggest casualties of, like, the big cast problem. Like, he is legitimately, from the fucking get-go, was a rock solid character. You know, like, was like, I'm in with this guy. Like, yes, the class captain, like, 100%. I love this dude. Shafted like 3 seasons now.
you're bang on with that big cast problem, because we've talked about, you know, it's their strength, their weakness, they can, like, swap cast members in and out, but, like, season 1 and 2 and maybe even more than that is like they're leading you down a path that, like, really makes you think he's going to be a central character, right? And then he fucking vanishes, and I mean, we got this moment was unbelievable. It was so cool.
They brought in a special animator for that.
I mean, that looks like a different show. Like,
I was reading...
it's unbelievable. That's maybe some of the best... That's probably among the best animation they've done in the entire series.
I don't have names in front of me. I should have done my research a little bit better. But I saw on Reddit, they brought in a specific animation director who literally focuses on speed on screen. And that's, like, that's why they got him. Because, like, they knew it was going to be... And it was the highlight of the episode, by far. Like, it was... Ida and Todoroki, like, rocketing off All Might, and then, you know, the Dobby stuff at the end there. But
yeah, man, that was that was wild.
So good.
I don't know, they fucking nailed that.
I love like the anime bullshit too that came along with it of like, you know, oh, like, you know, Ida, like your engines are, you know, they're out. And he's like, nah, dude, it's been raining. I'm good to go right now.
Yep.
You fuck know, it. It's like 100%. Right on. Let's go.
You know
Let's
what? We're used to watching anime. We get it. You're at your limit and you're going to pass them. Yeah. That's fine. Little, I'm not mad about that at all. You know what was... here we go. We'll give him more. More props. One twist that actually worked, because like anime in general, My Hero, absolutely. Very guilty often of being like, here's a twist for twist's sake, right?
Sure.
Exhibit A is like Shoto beating Dobby for it not to matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But one that actually landed for me is there, you know, it's the final showdown. Shoto is about to show up. The whole family is trying to cool Dobby.
Yeah.
Which is also like a good moment, especially with the whole family history. Again, a little forced at times, but it worked in this instance, I thought. But Dobby's mother's quirk activating as he's finally on his last breath was like, oh my God, that's pretty fucked up. Because it brings everything full circle, right? It's like the whole thing was that Endeavor was obsessed with trying to force this thing to manifest.
Yeah.
And it finally does in the one son that he's completely estranged to, and the other one that he's entirely alienated and is only hungry for revenge.
Yeah.
That actually was like, oh, fuck, that's actually quite poignant, and I actually feel kind of bad.
You know, it's... like, I know this is going to sound... like, I'm not trying to minimize, like, the overall My Hero story, because, you know, we do like, a lot of parts of it, and, you know, there's a lot we don't, but this, the whole Todoroki saga genuinely should have been its own series. Like, not even, like, don't even make it, like, a My Hero series. Like, give them, like, a power system or whatever, mm-hmm. like, make it, like, a superhero world or whatever, but literally that family trying to overcome, like, maybe it's, like, one giant arc or something like that, but, like, that family all coming together at that moment, a movie or something like that, like, and really put the time in, like, the abuse that friggin' Endeavor did to his family, and like watching them, getting to know all the siblings a little better, like
the semi redemption arc he has too, like if you want to call it that.
Yes,
the characters have been through a lot, but the problem is it is quite disjointed, right? Like
that
has been nearly eight seasons in the making of build, and I was bitching about it, you know, the last episode we did about like this is paint by numbers bullshit. You know, I was kind of pretty critical of it, but it's like, you know, because they're clearly trying to make everything kind of intersect here at the end. Mm. And this one, they nail, but it takes a long time to assemble those pieces. Like, what if people don't have a podcast about it? You know what I mean? What if they forget? Because it's easy. It's been gone for 7 fucking seasons.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But yeah, it landed for me. Any other major moments from that you liked?
No, not really. But I really liked everyone kind of jumping in.
It's that whole sequence, right? Like...
there's that. There's also, I did like, it was kind of a cool callback, because I thought that was kind of a heavy moment, I think, from last season, where, you know how, like, when all this stuff kicks off, when it becomes, like, you know, the leftover heroes versus, like, the, you know, the Super League of, or the Super League of Villains or whatever?
Yeah, whatever.
And there's a bunch of heroes that just retire, they walk away from the fight.
Yes.
And I remember being like, oh, like, that's kind of, like, a really fucked up moment. Like, everyone's kind of like, shit, like, you know, walking away. And then having a couple of them, like, you know, there's the... a couple of them kind of show back up in this episode, and, you know, they kind of jump back in saying, like, oh, like, I moved on my own, and the random callback to the slime villain that kind of took over.
You're right. Bakugo in
season 1. Bakugo and Midoriya saved him there, and that kind of links back to the guy that was on site, the real hero, the hero that was on site that should have done something was the guy that, you know, retired and, you know, in the moment kind of saved everybody from ceiling falling down, but...
yep.
Good point. I don't know, man. We got 2 more episodes.
We'll get All Might. You think he goes out? Think he dies?
Oh, I'm trying not to think about that, actually.
I mean, if there's a time.
So. I think so.
Yeah, if there's but a time
it,
to kill
it him, feels no, because you and I have literally clocked every moment along the way where, like, that was the moment to do it. And now it feels too hyped up. And they're going to show a flashy mech. I think it's going to be like a flashy mech fight. It's going to be cool or whatever. And I don't know if I'm getting my hopes up, but they did tease us with a little bit of, what's his name there? Stain? Not Stained.
Stain was
there. Yeah, Stain was there. But I don't know if he, like, he saw Ida and
Shota.
And Shota fly by. So I don't
know. Which is kind of cool, because if you remember, like, they, didn't he kill, or he didn't kill, but he paralyzed Lita's brother, right?
Yes.
And then he got out, and
So yeah. I don't know. That'd be cool circle. If like All Might and Stain take on All For One. That'd be pretty sick.
That'd be really interesting.
That would be. That's what I'm saying. That'd be,
hey, but that'd all be, time. You know what, man? They have an opportunity to do something cool. That'd be cool as hell.
That would be cool.
I hope they do that.
I don't know. We'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, how about the Penguin? How about the Sopranos, but in Gotham?
Dave, were you as genuinely shocked at the end of that first episode as I was?
How does... Because of what happens?
No, just like, you know, like, I'm a huge Matt Reeves stan. I love...
Yes, like, and you've been right all along for the record. Your boy...
His Batman, I'm a huge Planet of the Apes fan. Especially, yeah. You know, I like all the old ones, but these remakes are fantastic. And, you know, there's just something... And Colin Farrell's my boy, too, and he was amazing in the Batman. There's something in the back of my head of, like... We do this because this is like technically, is this not the first thing out of James Gunn's camp?
Well, no.
Or is it, like, this is probably like leading in.
Because here's the thing. I don't want to, I have a invested interest in correcting you here, Grant, because okay. As you know, I am intending to profit off of James Gunn's failed takeover of DC Studios. So let me jump in real quick. So James Gunn took over, you know, creative control of DC Studios, which didn't exist. It's a division within Warner Brothers that just focuses on DC properties, right? What he's doing now is he's rebooting... they rebooted it with The Flash, right? That technically came out. And now they're relaunching with Superman and all this other shit. And there might be something out. It might be Blue Beetle or something that technically starts the new universe. But, and this is the big but, the asterisk here... is when he took over the Batman with Matt Reeves and R-Bats and Joker with Joaquin, they had already come out and they had already been greenlit by Warner Brothers for sequels.
Gotcha.
So James Gunn was given the task of like, what do you want to do with this? And who knows? I don't know if he alone has this authority, but the decision was we're going to continue with our DC reboot. It will be in a silo and it will in no way intersect with what we are now calling DC standalone stories. And Matt Reeves is the Batman and Todd Phillips's Joker are standalone stories, not interconnected with anything else. So like they deserve all of the glory. Like as far as I'm aware, Gunn has had like, I mean, he is kind of in a way a studio head. So I'm sure that studios are involved with every movie they make.
I gotta say, his name was nowhere on the credits.
Yeah, like this is entirely, you know, this is entirely like everything coming from the Matt Reeves end of the business, as I understand it.
Well, it's good to hear because it fucking rules, dude. Like I was just like, I like it's not like I was expecting it to fail. It was just one of those things that was so apprehensive of it.
Well, it is a bit of a weird. You just don't know, right? Like we've just seen this a lot. You know, Disney has done this. Ultra recently, and it's gone very shakily, right? Yeah. Like if you had to be like, oh yeah, like let's do movies interconnected with TV shows, like you look at Marvel and Disney Plus and you're like, I don't know, man, that's gonna...
I think maybe that's what it was, like
that might be fucking messy. Yeah. But you know that, like, to be fair to James Gunn, like they did the Suicide Squad, then he did Peacemaker, and both of those were fantastic.
That's true. Peacemaker was the
show. So I don't know, but yeah, like you just never know. You never know how things are going to translate. You never know if it's actually going to look good. And the Penguin looks fucking great.
It, like, dude, like, he is completely unrecognizable. It's, you know, you were talking about earlier about Adar, and, like, I was waiting for, like, the Penguin conversation. The but, like, right. Like, Dave, like, it's incredible. Like, you know, like, there's every now and then you hear a hint in his voice. It's so funny. There's a line. You've only seen the first time. It's not a spoiler, but, you know, like, there's the... Like the Penguin, and then the kid that he essentially is holding hostage is this new like right hand man, Victor,
with the stutter.
Yeah, there's a line where I can't remember if it's in the first second episode, but he makes a line like "I'll gut you like a fish." It might be the first episode.
Yeah,
and it was so funny when he said that. I was like, "Oh shit!" I can hear Colin Farrell in there. For whatever reason. That line, like it really stuck out. But
yeah, you can hear it slip in and out at times. Yeah. But in general, his accent is extremely good. It really reminds me of how good Colin Farrell is. I was thinking about that. Was that Banshees of Inisherin he did?
Oh, so good. You ever seen him, Bruges?
He's wonderful.
Like, the whole time I'm watching this, like, it's like him playing like, because he's a kind of like a dopey criminal in Bruges, like kind of like a fucking idiot. And he's not really that in this, but like, it's just like the tone of like kind of like the gangster, like the looks he makes. So like, you know, like, yeah, like don't fucking look at me, don't touch me, like all this, like it's just very, yeah, it's very coded. I love it.
And also, how about Christine, is it Milioti?
Milioti, yeah. Scene Stealer.
Sophia Falcone, yeah, like
incredible. I mean, TV psychopath.
You know, I know her from the mom from How I Met Your Mother, and then she has a brief stint in The Wolf of Wall Street. And I was like, you know, I never really was all that. I just wasn't blown away. She got like, I mean, I just think like this is a really good character, but she's like wildly nailing it. Their chemistry is fantastic. She's frightening, dude.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing. I've seen her. I honestly forgot she's in Wolf of Wall Street, but you know, I remember her from How I Met Your Mother. But there was a movie right as COVID broke out, or like you know, back in the day or whatever you want to say. There was a movie that came out on Prime. It was supposed to come out in theaters, but like everything happened, so it was one of the first movies that got dumped to streaming. It was called Palm Springs. It was her and Andy Samberg.
I saw that. I forgot.
And like by the end of it, like Andy Samberg is good, great, and all that. But I was like blown away by her. Like she was so good in that.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know she was in this till I started watching it. Same, she popped up. Same. I was like, shit. Oh, cool. Like right on. And blown away.
And they, yeah, similar to Batman, the Batman. I mean, not really. Okay, that wasn't a really good take. But what I was gonna say is, it's like a lot of good superhero shows, you can't really tell it's about superheroes or supervillains other than like some of the names that go around. This like hyper realism Gotham,
yeah,
ultra dark that they've made is like, it's so heavily stylized, so beautifully shot. The cinematography is really good. The voice work by Colin Farrell, the prosthetics you already mentioned. Mm-hmm. We just have a lot of the pieces. You know what I mean? It's like, sometimes you just get one of those things. You get a show that's beautifully shot, and then like maybe the dialogue doesn't quite work, and you know what I mean? But yeah, like just like the Batman, like this movie is just kind of firing on all cylinders. I'm curious about how much of the talent worked on both projects. Or maybe just like within the same family. Maybe they just did a really good job of being like, hey, we really want to continue this vision. Mm. But I don't know what, you know, what the secret sauce is there, but like I totally agree. Recency bias is real, but like I can't think of a better TV show, like superhero TV show pilot that I liked more. WandaVision was great, the pilot was great, Peacemaker was great.
Yeah.
Generally I skew quite dark. This is wildly good.
Yeah, fucking, I don't know. I really like how, you know, like that picture of like the world that was like teed up in, you know, in our bats, like, you know, his Batman. You know, I just love the scenery of, like, the flooded parts of Gotham, you know, and I was a little apprehensive in the first, like, 30 seconds, because, like, they open up with, like, generic Fox News and CNN programming.
Yes.
Going from channel to channel, and, like, kind of everyone, like, taking in, like, oh, the impoverished neighborhoods are hit the most, and the elite neighborhoods are fine, and, like, you know, like, the acting is fine. It's, like, the way it was presented to me, I'm like, oh, is this, like, supposed to be schlocky TV, or is, like, this just, like, a fucking mess off the bat? I was so nervous. And then you get eyes on him, you're like, yeah, we're good.
Okay,
yeah,
the way they show the club foot too.
The limp. They're really showing like his. They show that he has lean. They show that he has the limp. That he has this, but like they do a really good job of showing how much like kind of like raw power he has. Ugh. And like at the same time, like I have, and I maybe this is a stretch, and I'm not genuinely comparing him to Walter White. But you know how like Walter White would like in the face of no matter what scenario he was in, he would just lie through his teeth, like in incredible fashion,
utter confidence, yeah.
And just, you know, what Colin Farrell's doing with this in The Penguin, like the way like he can go from like one scene to the other with even within the same, he gets news in room A and he works his way to room B and he's already like conniving and planning, like it's a really very good storytelling, very cool man. Character,
because yeah, the audience knows the way they're doing it, at least in the pilot. Is the audience knows what Oswald knows, what the Penguin knows. So yeah, you know when he's lying, to your point. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, so you have to watch his performance and be like, is he being convincing enough? And like, and I don't know. Really well done. Really hard to do, I think, from an acting perspective, by the way. Like,
yeah.
Colin Farrell, man, like, yeah. He's a real one. Yeah, he gets a big dub for this, I think.
And, you know, like, not to, again, I'm not trying to compare to, like, The Sopranos or you know, Breaking Bad too much, but how, like, it's hard, like, again, I've never been in a situation like this where I'm being essentially held hostage, but, like, I genuinely fear for Victor. Like the way the Penguin or Oz will like kind of turn on him, like in the moment too. Like, you know, like is his buddy, he's trying to warm him up and all that. But you know, like in a second, he would kill him.
And Victor knows that, and you know that because you're with Victor, and you know, like, yeah, the way he just snapped and killed the first guy, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So good. So terrifying.
Yeah.
But it's weird because in a Walter White-like way, you kind of want him to kill that guy because you're like, fuck this guy. It's mm-hmm. weird, right? Like, you end up rooting for the bad guy a little bit because you have this absurd curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I'm really digging it. Also, ending credits are great. They're like movie quality.
I was going to say, I really like, because that was like a big part of the Batman movie, where just their usage of that Nirvana song and just kind of... Not like not changing the song, but kind of like rearranging the piece a little bit,
yeah.
You know, kind of to fit the needs and like using cues from the song you would expect to be a chorus or something like that, or a motif from the song.
Yeah,
they do. And again, like, it's not a spoiler, but in the first episode, they use that Dolly Parton song to like great effect throughout the episode
mm-hmm.
and the ending. And they do a similar thing in the second episode. I'm wondering, like, there's just, like, a theme of, like, really good song choices, like, mm-hmm. fitting kind of, like, a mood and a tone. really love that. But,
Oh, and, I mean, you know, this goes without saying, but, like, you know, I was a major fan of the Batman Part 1, Part 2, you know, that starts filming in 2025. This is supposed to lead directly into the sequel. So,
do you think, because they've said he's not going to be in it, but Robert Pattinson must be in it, right?
I don't know. I'm curious, you know. I won't be upset if he's not. I'm operating under the assumption that, like, you know, Colin Farrell looked in the camera and said, no, like, we wanted to tell the story about the Penguin, and we want it to lead into Batman 2, so it will, but he's not in it, and it's the Penguin's story. So who knows?
Do you know you're going to fucking hate?
What?
I think Robert Pattinson showing up, not showing up, I think is okay and fine. I will put my chips down. I bet you your boy, Barry, as the Joker, is going to show up.
I'll be so fucking mad, dude. I
actually don't think they can help themselves.
So Grant's talking about Barry Keoghan,
yeah.
who is a deleted scene from the Batman 1, rightfully so. But they were like teeing him up in like an end credit scene about, like, you know, because they put away the Riddler at the end of Batman 1, and his cellmate or someone nearby in the prison is the Riddler or the Joker played by Barry. It's nothing against Barry Keoghan, even though he's weird as fuck. It's for me, it's more that, like, I just don't think we need more stories about the Joker. We've had three actors play him in the last decade or more. Like, it's just, there's a wealth of new and exciting characters that they can use from this IP, and they should try to do something a little bit more fresh, I think. Mm-hmm. But you're like, when you said that, I was like, oh fuck, they could easily do that. So I don't know. I won't be surprised if they do that. I won't be surprised if I'm wrong and Arbatz is in it. But if neither of those things happen, that's okay too.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what it means though, right? Like, when they say it leads into Batman 2, like, in what way? What will be the cliffhanger? Like, I'm excited to find out.
Or he's the main villain in
Batman. Yes, that too. Like,
would be interesting. That would be cool. That'd be good TI.
Yeah, like,
I'll see you in my big
picture. Hell, that's a great idea. You know what I mean? Like, that's a better idea than doing another Joker movie, because he had a perfect little intro mm-hmm. in Batman 1. And he's getting a full series now. Build him up, like, show how far he comes. Make it, you know, make another year or two pass during this season. So the Batman, it gets better, and the Penguin becomes like the kingpin, and then have him go at it in the second movie. That'll be fantastic. And that'd be so much cooler than
mm-hmm.
another Joker movie, you know? I don't know, but we'll see.
I don't know. The second episode's great, just as good as the first.
Yes, I'm not caught up, but that's really good to hear, because, as you know, like, pilots are hard, but, like, momentum is also very, very difficult.
That was the thing, too, because I found, like, you know, the first episode, the pilot, to be, like, very fast-paced, but I was like, okay, that is pilots, and, is you know, it's a lengthy thing. They got a lot of stuff they need to get out of the way. A lot of, you know, IP bullshit you gotta wade through, you know? Mm-hmm. And but I was surprised the second episode has a very similar pace.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, okay, maybe this is just the speed they want to go to. So I don't know how many episodes this is going to be. But either
my
way,
mind says 6 or 8, but I'm pulling that out of my ass.
8 would be nice. Yeah. 9, 10 would be ideal.
Yeah.
8 would be nice. 6, yeah. Well.
We'll see.
It is what it is.
We'll see. What do you got? You got
this?
Some?
You want to talk about this Chaos show you were asking me to check out?
Okay, so Chaos, new-ish, end of August, I think, or early September on Netflix. I went in, the story for the user, the reference, the context for the listener is I just said, Grant, watch this show. It's called Chaos. And Sam put it on over here. We're two or three episodes in now. I'd never heard of it, never seen a trailer. And I think that's the best way to watch it. But the one-liner synopsis I'll give the audience is it's a new age, R-rated Greek mythology in modern day where Jeff Goldblum is a power-drunk Zeus.
Pitch perfect.
So did you watch it? What do you think?
Yeah, I watched the pilot. It was good. It was funny. Like I didn't want to deep dive into it too much. I don't know if this is like original story or an adaptation or anything, but like within the first 5 minutes, this screamed like Terry Pratchett, you know, like kind of like Neil Gaiman. Oh, you know, I know Neil Gaiman's like kind of canceled right now, but like this fantastical, whimsical storytelling. Mm-hmm. Like there was that Good Omen show that had David Tennant and Michael Sheen in it.
Oh yeah,
and it very much reminded me of that. Just like tone and like the mysticism and like kind of, you know, the playing around with the mythologies and modern day and all that. But I really liked it. I thought, again, like Jeff Goldblum is, you know, like all time, like, you know, like it's crazy because he is known as like a comedic actor nowadays, but like he was a dramatic actor for a long time. And there's a really good blend of that in this of him.
Yeah.
You know, like he is like, you know, he has like his very dry kind of like kooky comedic timing to him, but like he shows some like legitimate rage in this first episode. I was kind of like, oh yeah, like fucking cook Jeff, like go get him, you know, like I want to see him get mad or whatever. But no, I really really enjoyed it. Very like, I did find the, not the editing, but like the jumping around in the narrative, like all introducing, yes, all these characters, yes, was like a little too loose for, yep, me, like but like not to the point where I'm like, oh, I don't want, like I definitely want to keep watching. I told Leanne about it when today, and I was like, this is probably something we should watch together. I think this is up your alley because we really like Good Omens, at least the first season.
I think it might be up her alley too. Yeah, like so for your reference, like we love episode one. A bit of a dip on episode two, though. I was exhausted and like fell asleep, and then episode three, I was like, oh yeah, this is fun. So it's like a little up and down, but like I had a lot of the same feelings as you as far as Jeff Goldblum goes. I'm like, oh my god, let him be crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just let him loose.
Yeah.
You had mentioned you weren't sure about, you know, source material and whatnot. As far as I can tell, it's wholly original, written and created for Netflix by Charlie Covell, who also did the series called The End of the Fucking World.
Oh, I don't know.
Which was like a Channel 4 production, but then eventually got moved over to Netflix, and then I think Netflix finished the series with him. He's a British writer-director, I think.
It feels like very British. Yes. I think maybe that's why definitely feel so like, it feels like Good Omens in that way.
But yeah,
like even everyone too, like they're in like, I know like it's, they're in Brazil, or they're in Crete, which is Greece, but it almost looks like they're, I thought they were in Brazil at first, because like the giant monument, I thought it was like the... Like, oh no, that's Zeus. I was like, that's funny. Like, it has a monument made to him.
Yeah.
But everyone speaks English, but like, you know, like, or like an American English, but you know, like, oh, these are all British people.
100%.
Yeah.
And there is a bit of like, I mean, I hesitate to say this, but I feel like there is a slight, almost like The Boys-ish vibe to the show in the way it treats violence and sexuality and at times gore.
Sure.
In that, like, everything is light until it's not. You know what I mean? Everything is light and like ha ha ha, and then like you decapitate somebody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then they show it because it's, you know, it's Netflix or whatever. So it's very interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see more. But when I watched that pilot, I was like, this is so fun. It's so new. It feels fresh. I know it's the idea of Greek mythology isn't fresh, but I think the idea of Greek mythology in modern day in an alternate reality where it's normalized is an interesting prospect and probably something that hasn't been done in a while.
It's funny because they're
Jeff Goldblum, come on.
Yeah, no, come on. The thing I really like, like, and I'm not by any means like a Greek, you know, like a Greek mythology expert, but like I've played a ton of Hades.
Yes.
And
you know all the names.
I know all the names, but I was so in love with that game. I kind of went down a rabbit hole a couple times reading about, like, you know, the lore of, like, all these Greek gods and all that. And there was an actually like an obscene amount of little Easter eggs and jokes in the first episode referencing stuff that was like in these history, you know, like, you know, in quotations, histories or whatever, about these characters and like, you know, kind of like the shit talking Poseidon, like being a, you know, being a fucking bum,
yes.
not like, you know, protecting the way he should. And yeah. like, that's, that was like a part of like a story. And like, you know, the stuff with Dionysus and like his beef with Hera, like that's legitimate. And like, you know, like stuff like that. And like, you know, the Orpheus and the Eurydice, you know, the Riddhi stuff, the saying her name's Eurydice.
Eurydice, yeah.
Anyway, all that stuff, like, it's just, they're really playing on those known stories. It's not like they're just like taking the names and just doing, like, clearly the work went into this and the research was done.
Yeah.
And it feels that way. Like, that's, so like, major props to that.
Yeah, and definitely.
I gotta say, Hera's Wall of Tongues, that was fucking like,
yo, David Lynchian. Right?
And I was like, whoa, you guys really stepped it up. That was really cool.
They're doing creative stuff. And like, there's, they go deeper into mythology in episodes 2 and 3. 3 especially, I was like, I wonder if they're going to, because they're talking about, you know, how some of the gods are related and are they going to address this? And they do, you know what I mean? There's little cool yeah. things. You're like, okay, if you're going to take a bite of the Greek mythology apple, like, you kind of got to go, like, sell me the whole bushel. You know what I'm saying? You got to go
deep. Yeah.
Yeah. I came up with that analogy just now, dude. Don't want to brag. But yeah, check it out. You got anything else? You want to talk about some news?
I got nothing else, so let's do some news. And I do. I wanted to ask you: are you ready for the fall? I got a little bit of a fall season primer for you.
Of course you do, dude.
Yeah, dude.
You're my boo. No, I'm not. Like, I know there's obviously I know there's like a fall season coming. What are your big ones that you're looking forward to?
So up top, and this is what I know because you and I were talking about it, but this is the only one that's aired so far. But Uzumaki started.
Oh man, is that out already?
Came out 2 days ago to rave, very good opener, I believe.
Oh my god, dude! You know we gotta watch that this weekend, dude.
Yeah. Oh fuck! Yeah, there we go. That's what
we'll do. Maybe not.
maybe not. Yeah. So Uzumaki's one.
Okay.
ReZero season 3, the long.
That's another big long one.
Await for that. That's coming. That comes out this week. Very. So I probably like the biggest one of the season. Is that Dan to Dan show that comes out this week as well. That's a Shonen Jump. That's like probably like their only significant leg left in their modern era of series right now.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
At least until Sakamoto Days comes out in January. But
so okay, Dan to Dan, got it.
So next on my list, what I'm super excited for is Bleach: The Thousand Year Blood War Part 3.
That's going to be Disney Plus, right?
Disney Plus, yeah. So that's next week, I believe. And here's one for you. Shangri-La Frontier Season 2 is next week.
Okay. When was this Dan to Dan thing coming out, do you know?
I think it's this, the 3rd, so that'd be what?
3rd of October?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, 2 days. Yeah. Okay.
All these shows are out in the next 2 weeks.
Hell yeah, dude.
Actually, the only exception is Dragon Ball Daima.
Oh,
which
right.
I believe is at the end of the month. I think that's.
Do you remember offhand? I don't blame you if you do. Is Dragon Ball Daima like related? Like, did Toriyama have any involvement?
It was the last.
He died?
It was the last project that he was actively working on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that'll be good. And then the last one is just, you know, a rom com, Blue Box that Leanna and I'm looking forward to, and Leanna will probably end up watching that as our rom com for the season. But
yeah,
dude, it's turning into a bit of a psycho season for myself. So.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, there's some good stuff in here. Like Uzumaki, yeah. Must watch, SLF, S2, I'll probably get to it. Dragon Ball Daima, I will take a peek at, but I'm curious about this Dan to Dan thing. Shonen Jump, I'm just curious, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's like just the early talks on it, and I think there was at was it New York Comic Con? Like whatever the one of the Comic Cons like last month or a month and a half ago, they brought in a bunch of like obviously not us, but they brought in a lot of anime you know people, and they watched the first 3 episodes and
oh cool of Dan to Dan,
yeah, and everyone came out saying like this is gonna be the biggest fucking Ooh. Show of the year. So but I know some people that have read it. Joey's a big fan. He said the manga's fucking it's fucking weird, but it's awesome. I know a lot of people compare it to Chainsaw Man in a lot of ways.
Yeah, weird can be good, you know.
But I believe, like, so that's the thing too. Like, Dan to Dan's a part of this like kind of club of mangakas that all worked underneath. Fuck, I'm now blanking on what manga was above them. Oh, I think they worked under. Is it Toriyama? Not Toriyama. Anyways, I can't remember who they all worked underneath.
But a famous author is what you're saying?
But there was a famous manga, and he had a bunch of assistants, and it was like the guy that did Chainsaw Man, the guy that did Dan to Dan, the guy that did Jujutsu Kaisen. Like, they all kind of worked under this guy, and they all went off and had, like, their own fucking big series, and, like, they're all kind of popping off now, so.
Interesting.
But yeah, Dan to Dan is...
It wasn't the Attack on Titan manga, was it?
No, I want to say... I thought it might have been Tite Kubo from Bleach, but I can't remember. Or the Berserk guy?
He passed away.
No, I don't think it was him, but I'll have the information.
Anyway, that's a great teaser, and I'm tempted to watch Uzumaki, but now I'm afraid to watch it before bed, Grant.
No, sure, that's the time to watch it.
Sam's terrified. Anything remotely, like, I'm going to show her a trailer for this. She's going to be like, out, 1,000% out. I will never watch this. And I can't tell her. It's like, no, you don't understand. It's a famous horror manga. I'm like, that's just going to make it worse.
It was so funny, Joey. We, you know, I had Leanna's parents over and Joey last night for dinner, and you know, he asked us, "Oh, like, what's on the docket this season?" And I was like, "Oh, Uzumaki there." He's like, "Oh, which one's that?" And I was like, "Oh, Junji Ito." He's like, out."
Yeah,
I was like, really?
He's
like,
it's quite frightening, eh?
Well, it's his most famous work, it's deemed. Mm. Spiral is one of his Uzumaki Spiral. I think it's kind of like interchangeable names.
A lot of art out there. Like, my algorithm, as you know, is like tattoos and anime.
Yeah.
And anime tattoos, and, like, there's a lot of people who've got his art on them.
Yeah. I saw on Twitter, there's, like, a small snippet of, like, just, like, a, you know, a clip from the first episode. And I was, like, I was already getting creeped out. I was, like, no, dude, I need to be creeped out by this moment on my TV, not, like, you know, just on
freaking I've been watching Twitter some... So the trailers as they come out, it looks... And my understanding is, like, the delays have been, like...
5 years, dude.
A lot of delays, but a lot of them, like, citing quality concerns because they want to get it right. And, I'm just curious to see what the finished product looks like.
I believe he's, like, you know, kind of, like, it's not, like, an official statement or anything like that, but general consensus is he's been, like, been the most burned by anime adaptations.
Oh, really?
Well. Like, there's never been one of his works that have, like, even remotely kind of, like, clicked.
Yeah, so maybe he has some kind of final cut or something. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of, like, the pinnacle of the art form, Marvel's going to submit Deadpool 3 to the Oscars this year. Yeah. I nailed that segue, dude. They're going to submit Ryan Reynolds as lead actor and Hugh Jackman as supporting. I think this is wild.
The hubris.
Yeah, I don't really understand. If there was a moment, it would have been RDJ and Endgame. But even then, I think that's a stretch. I looked this up. And really, RDJ's only statement on it is on Howard Stern.
Okay.
Post-Endgame. And he referenced, and Stern brought it up. He said, apparently, they really wanted, like, Marvel and Disney wanted to push and wanted to submit and start the campaign for RDJ as best actor for Endgame. And it was RDJ who said, nah.
Hmm.
And then, you know, he gets the happy ending because he won a couple years later anyway, right, for supporting.
Yeah, something that you want to win for.
Yeah, because if he got it for Iron Man, it's more of like a lifetime achievement award. Let's be real.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think the move for Deadpool is fucking weird. And also, like, I think, you know, the top comment I saw everywhere on this was, like, if Logan didn't win or get nominated for Logan, rather, excuse me, sure. If Jackman didn't get nominated or win for Logan, like, this isn't going to be it. He has one great monologue in that movie, but, like, it's not a character movie.
No.
Frieren. Season 2,
yeah,
greenlit.
The girls were so excited when I told them that. They're like, over the McCrins, like, it's coming out soon? Like, no, like, no, they announced it. And I was like, we got like a year or two.
Yeah.
What?
It's going to take some time. But hey, you know what? This is still great news. We get more. Just give me the same, as close to as the same team and the same level of quality, and I'll consider myself spoiled.
I would be genuinely shocked if
they made
a studio switch. Like,
oh, I thought you were going to say genuinely shocked if it's as good.
No. I think there's been more of a trend lately where, you know, there's like the production houses that own the rights to the anime and then who they hire to do the project. And I feel like over the past few years, you know, like, on, like, the less, like, major legacy stuff, like, whether it's, like, Bleach or One Piece or stuff like that, where, like, they've always more or less been, like, the same studio.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these other ones, like, shows that kind of jump studios all the time, for the most part. And I feel like there's been a little more consistency. Like, you know, I think MAPPA has been a big part of that, too.
Sure, yeah.
But I think that, you know, you could take that as, you know, just because they're, like, they'll take any fucking work at, like, you know, a fraction of the cost or whatever. But, Yeah, well, speaking of which, Jujutsu Kaisen, over.
Yeah, we'll see how long we can keep the spoiler demons at bay. Grant and I have been talking.
I got burned. I'm going to have to read it, I think.
Yeah, we've been talking about maybe just jumping it and reading this one on Shonen Jump, because it's out there. The spoilers have been pretty aggressive anyway. And like we just keep hearing pretty controversial things about how the manga is received in general post Shibuya. So I don't know. There might be a point, you know, similar to Berserk. Like, I think Grant's either wrapped up or close to wrapping up that first deluxe one, right?
Yeah, I've done 2 laps now.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Sorry, I got to catch up. But like, there's just going to be manga coverage in our future, one way or another. Absolutely, we're going to do something for Berserk, and it just depends on what happens with Jujutsu Kaisen. But I think there's a good chance we end up reading that.
What I think would be an interesting experiment for you and I, once we get through, you know, because I know we have plans for the Berserk manga, but whenever the time comes, I would. Because I think, like, this isn't really a spoiler, but I think, like, the general consensus that, you know, between talking to Leanna and Joey and, you know, people on the internet is one of the biggest flaws with the manga is there just becomes a point where it's almost like the power system kind of just, like, went away with itself. It breaks, and it's like, layers upon layers of, like, just more confusion, like, every few chapters of, like, you didn't even, like, answer that first problem you introduced, now you're adding this one.
Yeah.
And it becomes this layered mess of, like, well, what is the point of having a power system if, like, none of it makes sense?
Right.
I would think it would be fun, when the time is ready and you and I get in, to, like, sit down and actually go through when those points happen in the manga, and break them down and like compare it to the next time it comes up and sure. like, you know, like kind of like do like a, not like a dissertation, but like just like a breakdown and a kind of like an autopsy.
That sounds pretty interesting. I'm kind of into
exactly.
It.
Yeah. Exactly. Like where, oh, this is okay. This is kind of contradicting that point and compare. I think that'd be a fun little thing to do.
Could be fun. Yeah. Cause I've been rewatching, you know, as you know, I have an ailment, I have a sickness, and I watch people react to things I've already seen. And I've been rewatching season 2, actually 1 and 2 on YouTube. And like a big part of the strength of, you know, at least in the anime so far of Jujutsu Kaisen is, yes, the power systems are absolutely convoluted, but like when you go through them, like they do make sense, at least so far. And my understanding is it gets pretty wild, but but like I think one thing that like probably really attracted people early on, or at least attracted me, is like it is kind of a typical shonen, but like the lore and the way curses and techniques and all that shit works is pretty involved and pretty adult. Yeah. Where it's like, you know, I don't think a 12-year-old is gonna get this. So I don't I like that it's kind of complex. That might be fun to read in depth. Yeah. And for see me, to your point, if all the hubbub is if all the stuff is real, like if it does it really just become unreadable and complicated.
Well, the thing is, like, you know, again, I'm only speaking from like, you know, people I know, but
yeah,
I know for a fact in my experience Leanna and her brother Joey are both very competent readers, and like they're very versed in, you know, like this type of thing, like, you know, fantasy and, you know, horror and all, like all this stuff, like they know how to read and follow along like quite well, I think. And to hear them both be like, yeah man, like it's fucking, you know, and then I hear from 2 people that I know and trust, like explicitly. And then I go online and the exact same verbiage is being used about it. It's like, damn, like it really must be, you know, it's like, not like it's one of the things, like I don't believe anybody, let alone my wife and my brother-in-law, but like, it's like, I got to see it and read it for myself to see like where it falls apart. You know, like it's, I'm so, so curious.
Agreed. I want to know what the hubbub is. Cause I, for the record, I've seen that too, right? Like where it's like, okay, towards the end there, it just becomes like nonsense about domains and this and that, and it's like, all right, well, what's going on? And also, I don't know if you're seeing this shit, dude, but like people, like the, it's kind of cool to see that the fan base is this passionate, but there's fan animation everywhere of like certain fights because people are so excited about it.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, like I don't know how many more ways I can like try and dodge spoilers here because there's just so much coming around.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. But we'll see how it goes, and we'll go from there. But I think that it's likely we may end up, you know, taking a little peek there.
Yes, sir.
Your boy Frank Darabont's coming back, Grant. He's going to direct some of your show, Stranger Things.
My show?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you've seen it. I haven't. Therefore,
okay, it's my show. All right,
it's your show.
It was so funny. We were walking around the mall yesterday, and like, my eyes are going, like, I'm definitely due, you know, Leanna's gonna hear this, and she's gonna say, like, yeah, you fucking do need glasses, but we were walking through the mall, and I just saw this, we were walking by a Bath and Body Works, and I was like, what the fuck is going on inside that store right now? And I was like, is that what I think it is? And Leanna's like, no, that's not what you think it is, that's the Demogorgon from Stranger Things. Like, it's a mouth wide open.
That's funny.
And I was just like, oh. And
you're just losing it.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, that's such a weird, like, yeah, I'll get some hand lotion.
Yeah, man.
It smells like a Demogorgon, but.
This is, like, cut to our conversation right before we hit record. I was, like, talking to you about, we were at a bar, and a manager comped us a drink, and I just kept nodding because I didn't know what he was saying, because my old man hearing, I just, we don't really know what's happening around us, I think, is the, we're not that old, but it's becoming a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
What else? Cyberpunk is doing another anime at Netflix.
I'm legit. I think you're going to be under the same opinion, but I just hope they do a new story. Keep it in, you know, Night City. It could be 30 years later or 30 years before. I don't care. I just want a new from the
ground. Yeah, give me up. Another. Yeah, yeah, totally agree. Give me another hints dose, here and there.
You know, see, I don't know. Hmm? Yeah, I don't know.
Lady Gaga. Sure to release her first album since 2020 as companion piece to Joker 2.
Okay, well, that's cool. Like, it's like all themed around...
No idea. Album to Joker 2 is like the breadth of what I've seen. So I'm going to assume, thematically at least in some way.
I saw
it might be today. Called Harley Quinn or something, actually. Like, I don't know. So, closely linked to the movie is what I'll say.
I had read something this morning that... because it, like, I think it's technically releasing right now in Asia. So in South Korea, they have their own version of like a national cinema score.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's been running for like 10 years or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And nothing, I think it's like a score out of 100, and nothing has ever gone under a 70. Or I think the worst South Korean film went as low as like something like 72. And right now, Joker is scoring a 60.
Ouch. Yeah, I mean, I know.
And, like, it's not doing well. Like,
a couple of these early embargoes that have lifted have been tough.
Yeah.
I'm very curious. I'll see it, because I like the first one so much. But
I agree. I would like to see it. Comes out this Friday, no?
I think so, yeah. Okay, last one. We got to watch this. I'm confused. I wish I was better prepared for this, but Tim Dillon, This Is Your Country. It's a special filmed in front of a live audience where it's, like, kind of Jerry Springer-esque. And it's Tim Dillon just shitting on people, from what I understand. But they're all his fans, so it's like that. It's what they signed up for, I guess.
Okay.
And he, like, comes to be like, I'm going to solve your problem. But, like, the butt of the joke, like, the punchline is, like, America is broken, filled with garbage people. Sure. Because that's, like, his whole brand, right? So that just came on Netflix today. I went to hit play to see what it was. It's a 47-minute special that they've edited together. I thought he had like a deal for like a show, so I don't know if it changed. I don't know if he has this special and then a show is coming out. I gotta find out the details on that, but what I do know is I watched the trailer and it looked very funny.
I might check that out.
So, and 47 minutes, you know what I mean, quick and easy. So yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna see that, what that's about, and I want to know if he's doing more.
Have you seen much of his stuff?
I've seen his special. I thought it was okay. Yeah. I have seen, like, his very viral, like, rants on YouTube, which is clearly what people love him for. Like,
sure.
I think he has a place in comedy. I'm not his number one fan. I won't pretend to be. But, like, I think he's funny. I'm not, like, a diehard in any way. But, yeah.
Great in an interview. He's good as a guest.
Yes, man. Like, he's clearly a very... Yeah, I didn't want to, like, elaborate too much. But, like, yeah, he's clearly a very intelligent dude, right? I'm just curious to see more of his perspective.
Yes, sir.
That's all I got, friend.
Yeah, me too. I'm all out.
All right, compadres. Wow, we made it through a whole episode without me plugging the Instagram. Follow us, Part-Time Otaku Podcast, on the Instagram, on the TikTok. We're on there. We're on the talks with the ticks. We're the street youths. Film and share their content. We do that as well. I think I've got a little talk, they say, coming out on Chaos, the show. Sometime this week, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Music. New episodes every couple weeks. Thank you so much for listening. Grant, go ahead and say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.